Let's welcome our representative from Artichoke Music on Hawthorne Street in Portland, Oregon, the town that's hipper than you are. Please welcome Matt Meehan.
Hey, everybody. Thanks. This is off topic, but I have to say that I think it's a great omen that we're starting this conference on a day when the Nobel Prize for Literature went to a songwriter. So. Bob Dylan. I'm really honored to get to introduce Avery Hill, our next artist, and to tell you a little bit about Artichoke Music. Artichoke's a nonprofit organization. It's been in Portland now for 45 years, and it's dedicated to cultivating music community and supporting artists at all levels. People maybe playing their first song, playing their first quarter, writing their first song, or touring artists coming through. So. And it really is all about cultivating community. We have a store, an outreach program, a music school that offers workshops, classes, and individual instruction. And then we have the Artichoke Cafe, which is a little listening room venue. It seats about 70 people and has music three nights a week. So it's very much a community center, and it's about everyday music for everybody. So please do stop by there if you're in Portland. Artichoke is facing a challenge right now in that we're about to lose our lease, and we'll have to move next June to our fourth location. We're actually in our third location right now, and we're currently looking at a bunch of properties in Portland and launching a fundraising campaign to try to manage the move, so you may see some flyers around about that. I first heard Avery 5 or 6 years ago at Artichoke, as it happens, and after one song, I was a fan of her songwriting and her singing and have remained a fan ever since. Not long after that, she quit her job and decided to devote herself full-time to music, and I've watched as she became very quickly a hometown hero in Portland and an in-demand performer and also a very popular teacher at our music school, and has since gone on to tour nationally, and in the last year has been asked to play at venues like Club Passim in Cambridge and the Ozark Folk Center in Arkansas, and was a New Folk finalist this year. So we're really proud of our homie, Avery. She is a gifted storyteller, and her songs weave her experiences into history, and especially family history, and explores those relationships. She's got a fine poetic sensibility with language and a beautiful voice. She's a pleasure to listen to. So let's do that. Please welcome Avery Hill.
What work needed be done, that's the work she'd do. When her stomach swelled one summer, it was a brand new start and a whole different work to do. Just a simple woman, just a simple life, you'd say, with a house to clean and kids to feed most every day. But there's something to be said, I think, for living your life in one place. In the hall, and Oscar in the corner watching the Phillies playing ball, and on the dining room table a jar just just for spoons, was the hub of her wheel to them all. She cooked every day for nine. She had neighbor friends for tea. She made hand pies with her grandkids, any filling they pleased. And she put everything on china, whether she knew you or not. What she made, she gave freely. And when I look into the mirror, sometimes I think I see a little bit of her in who I try to be. No one special, no one grand, just a steady eye and a steady hand to give something to this world that this world can understand. Gone now since Jenny left the farm. All her children and their children's children are scattered near and far. And my daughter comes for coffee every Sunday afternoon. We sit in the dining room with a jar just for spoons to remember who we are. And when she looks into the mirror, I wonder if she'll see a little bit of all of us and who she wants to be. Someone special, someone grand, with a steady eye and a steady hand to give something to this world that this world can understand.
Technical difficulties. Oh, we'll do it the old-fashioned way, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you. Thanks. When the sound check goes really smoothly like it did today, then you know something is bound to work its way into the system. Well, thank you for such a lovely introduction, Matt. It's true. Matt was my first introduction to artichoke music, and artichoke has become such an integral piece of my life. So it's such a pleasure to be here with you all again. This is my fourth time at Far West, so I'm starting to feel like I'm part of the tribe. I'm also really excited this year to be hosting my first PGS room upstairs. So be sure you come to 732. I'm co-hosting with my friend Jasper Lepak here from the Seattle area. Our room is called Put a Songbird on It. So come on by and we'll put a little bird sticker on you. Oh, no, I already played that song. It's this one now. Well, I've lived on this hill for many a year. Many a year have I. Each day I walk down the hill into town just to say hello and goodbye. I walk by the baker, I walk by the school, I go read the paper just to see what's in the news. When it gets dark, I walk back up the hill, back up the hill, do I? For I have done what I wanted to do. I have said hello and goodbye. Oh, I've lived in this town all of my life. All of my years have I. I know everyone and I call them by name when I say hello and goodbye.
preacher just to make my amends. And when it gets dark, I walk back up the hill, back up the hill. Do I? For I have done what I wanted to do. I have said hello and goodbye.
Thank you very much. Well, this next song actually had its seeds in one of the songwriting classes that Matt teaches at Artichoke. So I'm very excited to share this one with you all tonight. It's a little nod to my father's very deep and abiding sense of nostalgia. When I was a kid, my dad decided that the best way to be a dad was to just relive his own childhood all over again with us kids, which made for a lot of fun adventures. And one of the things he was really excited to show us was the drive-in movies. Now, of course, when I was a kid, it was not exactly the time of the pinnacle of drive-in movie culture. And so even though my brother and I had a great time, my father was very disappointed, and he made it his personal mission to recreate the authentic experience of the drive-in movies in the comfort of our own home. And this led to all sorts of dreams and schemes, my favorite of which was when he decided he wanted to buy a flat-screen TV when they first came out, the kind that you hang on a wall. But he was going to hang it in the garage and get us kids in the car and then go drive into the garage to watch the movie in there. I'm telling you. I love this man. We eventually found a solution, and now every summer we have a family reunion that's not called a family reunion. We call it Awful Fest. And Dad hangs this white bed sheet on the side of the house, and we all get our big bags of popcorn, and we sit back in the backyard in our Adirondack chairs and watch Attack of the 50-Foot Woman. Movies so bad they are good. That's what we say. And it was, we did this for a couple years in a row when I finally had to ask my dad, okay, what is up with this? Because like every year we would take it another step further. Like one year we bought a popcorn maker, and then Dad decided that I needed to be the newsletter editor. you know, which actually I really enjoy. My favorite section is the trivia. I'm very proud of the trivia that I write, so feel free to ask me any questions. About Attack of the 50-Foot Woman, of course. That's what we're dealing with. And he just sort of unloaded all of these stories that I had never heard before, and I knew that I had to write this song for him, because I think we forget when we become adults that our parents were once children too, and that child really has almost more to do with the parent that they become than the adult that they become. So I wrote this for him. It's called Summer 1957. Headlights crawl across my ceiling. Wait for mom and dad to get home. But I can never sleep on these hot summer nights. So I creep the carpet downstairs on tiptoe. And by day I play ball on the green grass. Drink from red Coke bottles and chew pink bubblegum. But here in the pitch black of our living room, I am in orbit around a single white sun. And who will I find when I turn the knob? A gigantic robot, the thing, or the blob? Now the moon, perfectly framed in the window. The screens leave the night exposed. I settle in with a glass of milk and a plate of Oreos, waiting for the show to begin. Well, tonight, it's the creature from the Black Lagoon. A man in a fish suit on screen. Never been so afraid in my life. I can't bear to look, but I can't wait to see his face. He surprises her in the hotel and looks so disappointed when she cries for help. Now the moon, perfectly framed in the window. The screens leave the night exposed. I settle in with a glass of milk and a plate of Oreos. But I don't want the show to end. No, sometimes I wonder, is that what I have? Am I just another mistake from the lab? And could I be an alien? Could that be why my numbers and letters at school make me cry? Headlights crawl across my ceiling. Mom tucks the sheets around my bed. But I can never sleep on these hot summer nights. I don't want the show to end. Thank you so much. I know some of you have heard that song before, and it's been so interesting to me how every time I sing that song, somebody comes up to me and says, well, my favorite was always King Kong, you know, or something like that. And actually, Matt just told me the other day of a friend of his who sent him a link to this thing called Blob Fest, which happens every year in Phoenix City, Pennsylvania, which is where The Blob was filmed. And you can go and reenact the film. Like, go to the movie theater, and then on cue, run out with all the people as the blob is coming behind you. And I mean, I feel really proud. I feel like that song could be part of a movement, you know? We need to bring back the lovers of terrible, awful sci-fi horror movies from the early 20th century. Thank you. Well, I'll just share one more with you with a little story beforehand. Before I do, though, I just want to say thank you again to Far West for doing everything that they've done. I know Far West isn't just this, like, big amorphous thing. There are a lot of really wonderful people who make this happen. Thanks in particular to Wes tonight and to Matt for their words and their presence here, and to Alicia and Chris and Thaddeus for helping everything move so smoothly. They, believe me, we have the easy job up here. You all clap for us, so please clap for them just so that they know. Thank you so much. When I was looking at the map today on my way up here, I remembered that there's a little suburb of Bellevue named Clyde Hill, if anybody's ever been there. My great-grandfather's name was Clyde Hill, so that was really kind of cool to see. We're hoping to pop over there and check it out and find a sign. We called him Great-Granddaddy Clyde because he was from Missouri, and so we always called him Clyde. And this last song I'll play for you is a song about him. He took a road trip with his family in 1920 from where they lived in Colorado, where they lived in Springfield, Missouri, out to Colorado Springs. And just because we're up in the Northwest, little geography review, in order to make that trip, right, you have to go all the way across Kansas, the long way, right? And this was 1920, so there were no paved roads. There weren't really many gas stations along the way. It was just kind of dirt and clay all the way across. That turned out to be the least of his problems, as I found out from a story that he started to type up much later in his life. And as I was reading this story, I thought, oh, this is way too good. This has to be a song. I really should have given him co-writing credit on this song, because a lot of the best lines I literally took right out of this beautiful story that he told about this road trip, which, like most road trips, was just one disaster after the next. But then I ran into my own storyteller's problem, which is that he never finished writing the story. It sort of ends somewhere in the middle of Kansas, and we know that he made it back safe and sound, but we're really not sure how. And so that was where I, as a storyteller, got to learn the most important lesson I think that all storytellers learn at some point, and that is, you don't need all the facts to get at the truth of the story. This is called Road to Colorado. They say a man in his prime is a true sight to see, enough to make boys jealous and women swoon. He swaggers through the town and he mounts his gallant steed, rides off beneath the rising moon. Once there was a time when I was such a man, but these days I find I must convince myself that I still am. As is usually the case, the trip was conceived by the most important women I know. My mother, my sister, and my wife all agreed we should vacation in Colorado. How lovely, they said, to bring the babies along, all their bottles and cloth diapers too. This is 1920, right? So cloth diapers? That's an important detail for later. My brother-in-law said he too would have gone, but for a pressing business matter to attend to. How this ride would end, I knew that it was up to me to take charge of my steed and her. So I loaded up the bags with a cowboy's dignity in a 1919 Hudson 7-passenger. On the road to Colorado, don't know how, but I know why. On the road to Colorado, another line across my brow for this family.
alley of mine. Well, it's every cowboy's dream to be out on open plains without a care, without a single doubt, till babies need to eat and their mothers to complain. You're left no choice but to dismount. And if you've never tried to find a tree in Kansas for to rest, then my friends, believe me, you've been spared. For it's only flies you'll find, all too happy to attest to their keen sense for simple human fare. On the road to Colorado, don't know how, I know why. On the road to Colorado, another line across my brow for this family of mine. Well, it's true, I have no horse, I have no hat nor pair of boots, and they say a man is just a man, but lately I sense God and this road are in cahoots against me, though I do the best I can. We reached Wichita that night, stopped at the local inn to execute our grandest operation. Clothesline held the diapers, and the Sterno stove was rigged to treat bottles to optimal sterilization. And in the morning when we left, all those diapers still not dry, I protested, but alas, to no avail. They were hung out the car windows with all my manly pride, and the white flags of troops thus did prevail. On the road to Colorado, don't know how, I know why. On the road to Colorado, another line across my brow for this family of mine.
Thank you so much. Have a great Far West, everybody. We'll see you around.
Avery Hill.